Now it's time for our regular discussion of everyday ethics. A good friend gets close, very close, to a new boyfriend. Or even though you're working hard to try to help people, some people accuse you of helping the wrong people. And if you're asked, you know what your problem is, how do you answer? If you've ever been stumped by any of these problems, our guests can help. Now What Do I Do is the monthly ethics column for O, the Oprah magazine. And we try to check in just about every month for some common sense advice about these dilemmas. Joining us for our conversation is Jancy Dunn, who edits the Now What Do I Do column. And with us again is ethics panelist and professional ethicist Jack Marshall. Welcome back to you both.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle.
Okay, Jancy, a few questions this month that the theme seems to be just these kinds of things that people just don't know what to say, and it's happened, I think, to just about all of us. Let's start with this one about public displays of affection.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has probably happened to all of us. The question was, you've got this best friend, she's got a new boyfriend, you all go out together, and they're all just can't keep it together. They cannot keep their hands off each other. What did the panel say?
Mm-hmm. They all said, don't suffer in silence. This is your close friend. If she's really your best friend, says Faith Saley, one of the panelists, you should be able to say to them, hello, young lovers, you're grossing me out. And if you can't bring yourself to confront them in the moment, you know, some people can't, then get your friend alone. This is Perlisa Caputo. She's one of our new panelists. She's the CEO of Women & Company. She says, let her know that as much as you're happy for her that she's found a new boyfriend, the PDA makes you feel uncomfortable. Period.
Jack, why do people seem to have such a hard time with this?
Well, I think there's always a little bit of a golden rule issue where someone remembers a time where they were blissfully in love and they don't care what anyone else thinks, and the movies sort of make us feel like that's the way to act, and you don't want to feel like an old fogey or your grandfather by doing it. So I think that it's a little bit of a hangover from the '60s, despite the fact that, you know, it's just a more romantic way of burping in public.
Oh, dear.
I think you should respect the people you're with enough not to engage in conduct that, you know, all forms of private conduct done publicly make people uncomfortable. And there's nothing wrong with policing that a little bit.
Have a harder time with people whom they know well or people who are strangers? Like, I don't know if people take the bus or the metro and they've seen this stuff on the bus or the metro, particularly if you have your kids with you, you might say, you know, I really...
This particular kind of conduct, I think, is especially tough because you don't really know enough about the situation. So who knows? You know, maybe they were just united after you know, he had been trapped underground for a week or so. I mean, there could be your
good point. Hadn't thought of that.
You're reluctant to jump on them for that. Also, you don't know how they're going to react. They might react violently. Luckily, for some reason, we've evolved a gag answer to this, where someone says, "For heaven's sake, get a room." Luckily, that's sort of a universal statement you can use certainly with friends, and it may even work with strangers. But I would certainly be more hesitant to do it with strangers.
Jancy, let's move on to the next question. What do you say when somebody asks you, you know what your problem is?
Okay. If you want a convenient way to shut down this person, they offered a few ideas. Rudy Rasmus said, there's no correct answer to what is essentially a trick question. Don't try. If they say, do you know what your problem is? Say, no, and I'm doing fine without knowing. Anita Allen said, at the moment, it's you.
Oh, man.
Lisa Caputo said, a simple, I do thank you, actually leaves the person with no opening to expound on their thoughts any further. And Faith Saley said, don't tell me or I'll have no more mystery in my life. But Faith and Jack, I believe, said it could be a good learning opportunity. Right,
yeah.
Jack?
Yeah, Jack, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess I think you should always be open to the possibility that someone actually has something constructive. I believe that there is a thin line between being constructive and being meddling, and certainly you know what your problem is certainly a wide open box that can go in all sorts of directions. But I have to say I have both had useful information imparted to me not too differently than that, and occasionally it may just be an awkward opening to honesty. So I don't know that you necessarily need to react hostily and say, yeah, my problem is you. That perhaps is a little you may want to give them a little bit more rope. Who knows what you may find out.
Speaking about listening or trying to be attentive, there's a question here about running into someone whom you know has been ill. The person's appearance is changed, And the questioner wanted to know, do you say anything? Jancy, what did the panelists say?
Well, they were in agreement that it wouldn't have been kind necessarily to comment specifically on how she looked, particularly if she wasn't looking well. But as Anita Allen put it, it's insensitive not to acknowledge someone's long illness, which, you know, is life-changing. But there's no need to call attention to her appearance. You might have said, I heard you've been ill. It's so nice to see you here tonight.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about everyday ethics with professional ethicist Jack Marshall and columnist Jancy Dunn. They both participate in the O Magazine Now What Do I Do column. Jancy, final question, and I think a very interesting one in these times in which we've had a lot of domestic situations like Hurricane Katrina. We've had a lot of international disasters that have claimed a lot of people's attention. Someone wrote in and said that they are trying to raise money for a nonprofit organization that helps poor children in South America, and that sometimes when the person is making a pitch, the person says, why aren't you helping poor people here in the U.S.? What did the panel say?
They offered a few different responses. Rush Kidder said, tell them that building prosperity overseas also lifts the global economy, benefiting everyone. Everyone wins. Lisa Caputo said, point out that it's not the charity, but the act of charity that counts. You can gently point that out. Faith Saley, perhaps unsurprisingly, took a lighter approach and said, you know, say something like, you're right, we do have poor people in America. Why don't you start here and I start down there and we meet in the middle?
Jack, what did you say about that?
I don't even remember what I said about that.
Oh, dear.
What did I say about
that? I can tell
that?
You, Jack.
What?
You said a strongly worded response, which I love. Just stop associating with people who have the gall to criticize you for being generous to needy human beings because they think you should be helping different human beings.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like me.
They're rich, in which case, just keep working on that plug.
It's actually a hot button with me where people... we were talking about Oprah Winfrey, where she got criticism for establishing a school in Africa and saying,
yes,
why doesn't she establish a school here? I mean, everybody has their own priorities and ideas about where they should apply their charity. I don't think any individual has a right to question someone else's choice of a charitable goal and their own set of priorities. And I think it's inherently rude to do it. And that's why I think that's why I asked you to remind me of it, because my first reaction to that is always a little bit on the harsh side, because I really think that is a very self-centered and wrong-headed response. No one has the right to dictate their set of priorities to someone who is charity-minded.
Jancy, was there an answer here that particularly spoke to you? Because I bet you this is something that people hear more often. I know we hear it. We hear it when we cover a range of stories. We are very interested in international news, and often it does come up.
Yes, and, you know, we at O Magazine, we lived it because she really did get a lot of criticism for her decision to help people in Africa. But I liked pointing out that it's not the charity but the act that counts. I mean, who can argue with that?
Oh, there will be people that will, I'm sure.
But how would you respond, Jack? I forgot to ask you, you know, in which case, what do you say to someone?
I would tend to say, well, that's a good objective also. Why don't you get to work on that? I've had that said to me. Why? I've been in situations where people have said, I want you to work on my charity. Or, you know, we want to dictate you to, you know, we have a united appeal that everybody in this organization should give to. And my attitude has always been, listen, I'm going to give to the causes that interest me, not the causes that interest you. And you have no right to tell me what causes should interest me. So, I mean, I've always been very direct, even in a pressure situation under an employment circumstance. No one has a right to tell other people where their charitable instincts should go.
We really need to help him come out of his shell, Jancy. We need to help
him. A shy, retiring violet.
Just, you know, tell us how he really feels. Jack Marshall is a member of the O Magazine Ethics Panel and president of Pro Ethics. He joined us here in our Washington studios. And Jancy Dunn edits the Now What Do I Do column for O, the Oprah Magazine. She joined us from our New York bureau. Thank you both.
Thank you.
You are welcome.